All right, so after a month away, happy to be back. It turns out it's just Bashert that in the kind of, you know, last week's, I guess you could say, of Hervzman. So we are going to see Pesach stuff. So we'll be pretty thoroughly versed in the Minchas Chinuch on Pesach by the time we get to Pesach. Needless to say, there is no Sefer Chinuch on Purim. This is not one of the Tayag. So the next, it happens to be we're right in the middle of these Parshas and Shmos, where there's so much about Pesach, so it's just kind of the way it works out. So the last mitzvah we saw was Mitzvah Zayin, which had to do also, again, we're right in the middle of the Karban Pesach, and the last mitzvah had to do with not eating the Karban Pesach when it was raw, or not fully cooked, or cooking it as opposed to roasting it. And the next mitzvah, Mitzvah Chet, is a lotase, shalo lahosir klum mi basar ha-Pesach, l'machraso, shehu yom chamisha sar b'nisan. Don't leave over anything until the next day. The idea of what's called nosar, which we have as a phenomenon by other karbanos. So here we have nosar when it comes to the Karban Pesach itself. We're supposed to eat the Karban Pesach on the night of the 15th of Nisan, and you leave over any to the next day. You don't finish the entire Karban. That is itself a vera of a lo ta'aseh, shen emar, as the Pasuk says in Shmot, Perek Yedbet, v'lo totiru mimenu ad boker. You're not allowed to leave any over until the next day. Mishar she mitzvah zu, says the Sefer Chinuch. What is the philosophy? What is the ta'am of the mitzvah? So this is similar to what we saw earlier when it comes to the Shechita HaPesach, that everything about this has really got the same one big mitzvah, which is this about remembering the Nisim of Mitzrayim. And that which we were commanded specifically, okay, that's a broad umbrella explanation, but specifically, what are we commanded to do specifically with the prohibition of Nosar? So that, ha'inyin hu, kederach malachim, v'sarim, or dafko, you know, this is the whole idea of everything where B'nai Chorin and like Malachim on the night of the Seder. So similarly here, just like the way of kings and princes, She'enam Shechem Lahosir Mitavshilam Yom Liyom, right? They're so rich, they already just save leftovers. There's no Tupperware, right, in the palace, right? No Shabbos leftovers in the king's palace, right? Whatever they don't finish, that's it. They don't leave anything over. Al-Kein Amar, Shem Yosir Mimenu, Shiasarev Kedavar She'en Chafes Bo. So therefore, if we accidentally leave anything over, then we burn it as if to show we have no interest in it, Kederach Machay Adama, as if they, you know, just like they don't need anything. And all of this is to remind us and to inculcate and to internalize. To remind us that Hashem redeemed us in this time period from slavery. And we became free people. And now we have merited to be B'nai Malachim and to a great position. So that's the philosophy of it. Who's obligated in this prohibition? So since it's a lotase, noheges b'zacharim u'b'nekevos b'zanabayis, it's going to be equally applicable to men and women. We're all prohibited in this same aveira. But over a love, similarly you violate the hostier of the other al-halav. If you in fact violate, meaning if you in fact don't keep this and you leave over, you violate a lotase. Avo'ein loket alavza, right? So the chiddush is though that there is no malchus. Even though usually we say you get malchus for a lav, here there is no malchus. Why? Lafi shehu nitak la'ase. This is a lav on nitak la'ase, because the pasuk says shenemar v'hanoser mimenu ad boker ve'eish tisrofu. When you burn it, it's not you did an avera, but then there's a mitzvah to, so to speak, undo the avera. That is if you burn the nosar. And what's the rule? I can't remember if this is the first time we've seen this yet or not. I don't remember. But nevertheless, the Sefer HaKadosh tells us the general principle, which is not unique to this, halacha, shalav, shenitek, la'asei, ein lokin alav. Right? This is one of the rules of punishment, of onshim, that any lav, hanitek, la'asei, any lav, right? Heshif is like zela, right? You steal zela, you steal money, you steal money, you have to, you bring back, you have to repay. So that's a lav, hanitek, la'asei. Anytime you can sort of speak, quote-unquote, undo the lotase, doesn't mean that you didn't do an avera, you did an avera. But since the impact of the avera can be undone, or there is at least, I take that back, that's not even the best way of saying it. Since there is something that you do subsequently, that you are commanded to do something in a rehabilitative way, there is an asay that you do that comes after that. So therefore, says the Torah says the halacha that you don't have malchus. So this, since here there is a nitzak asay, you have a mitzvah to burn it, and therefore there is no malchus. Okay, so hopefully, I don't know. If we're not going to. There's a discussion in Minchas Chinuch about the malchus. right, which is that we also have a rule that you don't get malchus on a lav she'en v'maisa. Right, so here the Minchas has a whole discussion. Why don't we give that reason? Right? No tar is by definition something I didn't do, right? There's no action to violate no tar, it's a not eating. So that's a discussion. I didn't put it on the sheet, but FYI, later on, towards the end of the Minchas Chinuch, he does discuss that and what might be the reasons for one or the other. But I want to discuss something that we easily could have missed. I admit myself I wouldn't have paid attention to it, frankly. That's from the opening sentence of the Sefer HaChinuch. This is what the big discussion of the Minchas Chinuch is towards the beginning. Again, something that comes up in the opening sentence, as we shall see. So says the Minchas Chinuch, he begins, I in the Rambam, Perik Yud, Mehilchos Karban Pesach. Here's the Rambam writing the parallel discussion of what we just saw in Sefer HaChinuch. See if you notice the difference. Sarach Adam Shishtadel Shelo Lahashir Basar HaPesach Ad Boker. Right? Person is commanded not to leave over any of his Karban Pesach until the next day. Shne'emar, etc., etc. Now before, without trying to peek ahead to the next line, anyone get what the difference is between the Rambam and the Sefer HaChinuch? Anyone catch that? Okay, that's it. Okay, fair enough. Okay, fine. That's not what the Minchas Chinuch. That's a fair point, although that's not what the Minchas Chinuch is going to harp on. Okay, so they're all good points. But look, let's take a look at the next line. So this is what the Minchas Chinuch catches. Keep on looking. Harafa Machaber, second line. Hosif Tevas Klum. Go back and look at the Sefer HaChinuch for a second. Go back to the top line. Shalol Lahosir Klum Mi Basar HaPesach. Right, not to leave over anything, even a minimal amount. Right, so now go back to the Minchas Chinuch, second line. Kasser Shalol Lahosir Klum. Right, whereas the Rambam, Sarach Adom Sheshtam Shalol Hashir Mi Basar HaPesach Ad HaBoker. He doesn't say anything about, he doesn't use the word anything. Now what do you think, what might be, I stress might be, because the Minchas Chinuch himself is going to go back and forth on this, but what might be the practical difference between the two formulations? The Rambam just says, don't leave over from the Karban Pesach, and the Sefer HaChinuch says, don't leave over anything from the Karban Pesach. So what do you think the difference might be, practically, in those two formulations?
The explanation for, like, Derech HaMalachim, he talks about it, like, Malachim doing anything. Like,
no, I don't mean the rationale. I mean not the rationale why it should be one way or the other. What would be the practical difference of those two formulations? Excellent. This year, so that's exactly what the Minchas Chinuch says, where it's underlined. The Efshar Lomar, so he basically saying, you know, on the Rambam, why would the Rambam on the Sefer HaChinuch, why does the Sefer HaChinuch Dafka use this terminology of Klum? He says, Efshar Lomar, the Kavanas Harava Machaber, Kaven Delav Ze'enu Ba'achila, since this is, you'll see it's implied that Danny, that he's agreeing with you. He's already going for what he thinks might be a rationale. Since this is not an Isra Achila, in Cain, Efshar Ein Tzarech Kazayis. Maybe there's no Shir. Rakafilu Kolshu Im Hosir Over Balabze. So first, let's do this in a slightly different order than the Minchas Chinuch himself did. Danny, you actually were Machavin a little bit to the order that he did it, but I think it makes more sense. Let's unpack this and reassemble it in a slightly different order. The basic Diuk in the difference between the Chinuch and the Rambam, says the Minchas Chinuch, is there a shear or not? Let's say you leave over a teeny bit, less than a kezayit. Were you over the velotase or not? So from the fact that the Sefer HaChinuch was out of his way to say shlo lahosir klum, sounds like yes, you would violate under any circumstance, even the most minuscule amount of carbon that's left over, you would violate the lotase. There's no minimum shiur, right? Shiurim can be either, you know, the kula or the chumra. When it's a mitzvah, it's a chumra, right? You're not going to the mitzvah until you eat a certain amount. When it comes to an avera, it's a certain kula, right? You're not over, you didn't violate unless you did a certain amount. So says the Minchas Chinuch, perhaps the Sefer HaChinuch is giving us a chumra. The shelo lahosir klum mi basar pesach. Even if you leave over a minuscule amount, but less than a kezayis, ordinarily that's nothing in halacha. But nevertheless, he says, in this case, maybe it would be a violation. That's the chiddush of the... Now, once he makes that diuk, so then he has two points to make. Right? One is implicit, one is explicit. I think the implicit point, at least at the moment, is that the Rambam must disagree, right? I think that's the important. But if the Sefer Chinuch goes out of way to say klum and we're medayik from that, so I think it's reasonable. Can I get her a tarragon ping pong? It's reasonable to, you know, go on the other side. Well, why the Rambam not say that? Well, again, now that's tentative, very tentative, but tentatively, let's assume that for now the Minchas Chinuch himself at least thinks that the Rambam may disagree. That's why the Rambam didn't say that. But the other thing which he does explicitly, and this is what Danny anticipated, is why should that be? Now, what he did, he didn't give a philosophical answer, he gave a halachic answer, but you see that he's bothered by this, or he feels that he has to defend. By which position does he feel the need to defend? The chiddush, not the Rambam. Even if he's right, he's acknowledging implicitly that this is a chiddush. Why? Because ordinarily, what do we usually say, especially when it comes to things like food?
This year,
and it's usually a kazayas, right? So how come? Right, there are sometimes things which are bigger than a kazayas. So we don't have anything less than a kazayas that would require a shear. So says the Minchas Chinuch, and you know why this is different. So perhaps he says that other things that you're used to when it comes to food, and there's a shear, that's usually about eating something. But here, it's not an aveir to eat chazer, to eat basar b'chalav, to eat nevela. Those things, maybe meet d'oraisa with a shear of a kazayas. But this is not an isra of achila. It happens to be with food, but it's got nothing to do with achila. And therefore he suggests maybe that's why the Rambam thinks, that's why the Chinuch thinks it's a, even without a, doesn't need to be a kazayas, it can even be a kol shu. Well, he doesn't even get into, but we could conjecture if we're ping-ponging and assuming that the Rambam disagrees, so then we could, I would hypothesize that the Rambam disagrees, because even though the Avera in isolation is not with eating it, it's just not stopped than the fact you didn't eat it, you left it over, but the whole idea of Karban Pesach is an eating of it, is an eating mitzvah. So this, if you assume that this is like a foil to the mitzvah of eating, it's not an independent Avera, it's really an Avera that you didn't eat. So just like the mitzvah to eat would be a b'kazayas, so the fact that you didn't eat would be b'kazayas. That's what I would guess based on, so far, one little few lines here. Anyone, comments, questions, disagreements? Okay, so again, by the way, I don't know if that ever came up in any conversation I had with you guys, but whether it's sometimes with guys, and it certainly comes up sometimes in interviews, where I often give when I talk about the marshal of Lumbus being, seeing the icebergs, you just see the tip of the iceberg, that's the text in front of you. Lumbus is all about the deep sea diving of trying to see what's underneath the surface. But I try to always stress to the guys, the first step in Lumbus is seeing the tip of the iceberg, or else you become the Titanic. Right? I always say, what is seeing the tip of the iceberg? That's what's the marshal of that? That's good reading, whether it's a Gemara or a Rishon. So this is what the Minchas Chinuch is trying to see so far, the tip of the iceberg. And then he's already, started his dive deep to try to get to the bottom of it. But his first thing is a careful read, especially, and this is, again, methodologically something which you probably all know, but it's a good example to tease out. Sometimes when you read a Rishon, you're not always sure, am I reading it, am I medayik too much or not? So the answer is yes, sometimes we just don't know. So what's one of the ways we can look to know? Am I reading too much into this word or this omission of a word? So sometimes the best way to find the answer to that question is to look for a comparison or a contrast. And if you see another Rishon discussing the same thing, so in this case, it's the fact that the Rambam doesn't mention it, gives credence to the diuk that when the Chinuch said klum, it is of consequence. So far so good? Excellent. Let's continue. Shover iti, he says. The Sefer Mutzal Mi'esh. Now I have to admit, I do not know who wrote the Mutzal Mi'esh, and I didn't look it up. So I'm sure he was a Heilige holy Jew, but I never heard of it. And I think if I remember correctly, as we'll see, I think the Minchas Chinuch says that at the time that he's writing this, he doesn't have the Sefer in front of him either. He just remembers it. So I don't have it in front of me, and neither does the Minchas Chinuch. But as with many other things, he knew it and I didn't. So says the Sefer Muslim Eish, Asher Bal Yadi Zayamim, once upon a time I saw this Sefer, B'Sheila, Amar al-Khakirazu. I was once looking into this question, and sure enough, the Heilige Mutzal Mi'esh. Who doesn't look at the Mutzal Mi'esh when he looks, looking for answers? He actually discussed this. Imtsar Kazayas, do you need a Kazayas to violate this Lotase of Nosar of Korban Pesach? Or I feel the Kolju over Alavze. Or maybe even with a minimal, minuscule amount. But interestingly and fascinatingly, the Mutzal Mi'esh also builds his analysis based on a Diuk, but his Diuk is in the Rambam. But not the Rambam that we just saw, or not alone the Rambam that we just saw. If a Dikdik, fourth line, the Dikdik, the Mutzal Me'esh is very careful in his reading. Me'divrei HaRambam Sheberperek Tes Halacha Al. Shesham Hu Kotev Hamotzi Zayis Basar Mi'ha'Pesach Me'achabura, excuse me, Over V'loka Shem Alotosi. What's that talking about? This is talking about something which the Sefer HaChinuch is going to get to, I believe, in nine mitzvahs. It's in mitzvah Tedvav, which is that there is an avera to take the meat, physically, to take the meat of the Korban Pesach outside the defined area that the given group is eating the Korban Pesach, right? Korban Pesach needs to be eaten in a group. You have to register. I'm in this group. I'm in that group. Right? That's the equivalent of like signing up for a Pesach program nowadays, or I want to have the, you know, the private seder in that room or that room, right? But everyone had to do that. That wasn't just for the rich and famous. Everyone had to do it. You had to register for a chabura, and then you had a definitive delineated place. In Mirat Hashem, if we get to it, or you can learn it on your own if you want, they discuss, and the Gemara and the Minchas Lidach discusses, you know, how do you separate? It's like, you know, you put up mechitzos to define it. How do you quantify or define given areas such that, A, I'm allowed to eat it in, and if I take it out, I violate this law. It's interesting. It's just jogging my memory because, not because I'm rich or famous, but because I sometimes speak at hotels. I've been away. So there are hotels, you know, there are definitely some hotels in which they offer, you know, three options for the Seder in a certain sense, right? There's the big room where everyone's talking and you can barely hear yourself think, you know, but that's no extra price for that. Then there are like private, like conference rooms, which you can like pay super extra for, have mom's like a private meal, no one's there. And then at least in some hotels, they have like a medium option where they'll have to spread you out a little bit. And I've been in places where they literally put up like mechitzas to give you a semblance of privacy. So that's like what they used to do. They eat in the Korban Pesach, you know, all over Yerushalayim. Not everyone has a place to go. Not everyone's got, you know, not everyone lives in the Yerat Tikah. So what am I supposed to do? I live in the Beit Shan and I came down, so, but I have to be with my chabura and eat it. So you put up mechitzas, it's a different thing. So, hey, Mashiach, there's a lav daraisa, which again, most of us don't think about anymore because we're not living in the world of Korban Pesach. So we know there's nothing to eat it. Like that's pretty much all, that's what everyone knows. But more than that, most of the details most of us are not so familiar with. So it happens to be, he references from the Rambam, against the Pasuk in the same parsha, that there's a prohibition for someone to physically remove the meat from the place where it was supposed to be eating. That's the Isra of Hotsah. So in that context, what does the Rambam say? Let's repeat the quote. Hamotzi zayis mi basar ha-pesach mi chabura over v'lo kashem v'lo tosi. So there, what do you see? What does the Rambam do? He went out of his way to use a shear. Unlike our case in Nosar, where he didn't mention anything. He just said the Pesach. He didn't say klum. He didn't say a little bit. He didn't say a lot of it. He just didn't say anything. He just said the meat. So says the Mutzal Me'esh. Umaskir b'dvarav, the Rambam, when he's talking about the issur of carrying or removing meat to another place, there he mentions kazayis. Yet here, when he's talking about the issur of leaving over meat, the kankas of a Rambam stam, shulahashir ad voker, velokas of kazayis. So what does the Mutzal Me'esh suggest? Nirad halav hu afilu al koshu. Kein hu b'zichruni shereiti b'sefarna. I remember that's what he said. So it comes out that at this point, what do we have? He's being medayik that the Sefer HaChinuch thinks it's even with a minimal amount, less than a kazayis, and the Mutzal Me'esh is being medayik that the Rambam agrees. We thought it was a machlokas. Now, it begs the question, well, if the Mutzal Me'esh is right, so how come the Rambam didn't, you know, again, it all depends, I guess, on what your center of gravity is. Like, this is the best way I would put it. In other words, if you think that the center of gravity is, if I say nothing, Sefer HaChinuch was in Sefer HaChinuch we're comparing using no word or adding the word klum. So klum sounds like it's a minimal amount. But the Rambam said nothing. But now the Mutzal Me'esh is saying, but you can also compare the Rambam not klum or nothing, but nothing or kazayis. Right? Nothing is, by not saying anything, that gives one implication if you're comparing it to kazayis. It gives you a completely different implication if you're comparing it to klum. If you're comparing that to klum, it sounds like it's a big klum, or all you need is shear. But the Mutzal Me'esh says, no, you have to widen your scope. He didn't mention anything, but he did in other places mention kazayas. So Adarabba, the diuk is not that he thinks you need a kazayas, but he didn't mention anything. The diuk is, the Rambam's nothing is the chinuch klum. So if these two achronim are right respectively, mechaz chinuch in the das of the chinuch, and the Mutzal Me'esh, but that's Sefer HaChinuch, then it would come out that both Rishonim would hold a big Chumrah that you violate even with a little bit. That's where we are at the moment. So far so good? Excellent. So he says, V'hinei, B'guf HaDavar. Now he says, let's take a step back, right? is also very important, right? Sometimes you get so focused on the diuk again. So step one was the diuk, you know, or the careful reading. But now we have to ask ourselves, are we really reading it correctly? Or, and if we are, what would be the svara? What's the logic of all this? Lo yadati l'chalik bin hotsa mechabura o motir. Getting back to the Sefer HaChinuch, right? The Sefer HaChinuch seems to contrast the two. But why would there be a distinction? Or should I say, I take it back, let me say it this way. We just got through saying the whole Muslim age is contrasting, leaving over, and carrying out. So why should there be a difference? What was the Minchas Chinuch Svara for why we should ever say it's Pachas Mikazai, it's only a little bit? What was the Svara? It's not a Din Achila. That helped only if you were comparing it to other Isra Achila. But now we have two different things, neither of which are Isra Achila. So now the contrast is more baffling. Right? That's what he's going to say now. Lo yadati l'chalik bein hotsa mechabura omotir. The shnei alavin ainam minyan achila. Neither of them are achila. When we call makom sar kazayis botsa. Imkei maishna motir mehotsa. Right? He's painted himself in a corner. Now he doesn't make any sense. What's going on? Al kain or al karcha, therefore trach lomer. Basically here, he's going to at least halfway retreat. Al kain, trach lomer. The shiurin halacha lemoshe misinai. Instead of making trying to give a svara, there's a chilah within achila, non-achila. We're going to take a step back. Kol tarkula, even within achila. How come for Yom Kippur it's a kosevis, and for this one it's a this, and here's a kabeta, and here's a kazayis, and how come a bar mitzvah boy is 13 and not 12 and not 14? Have you ever met a 13-year-old kid? Is he really a man? I mean, you know, where do we get this from? And the answer is, he says, and this we have other makaros for, there's a famous tshuva of the Rush, I don't think he quoted, but it's often known as the tshuva of the Rush, that shiurim are halacha lamosha mi sinai. This is just an act of faith that we have, a leap of faith that we take in the Mestorah Shabbal Peh. Shiurim, you can't prove them. Shiurim can't be deduced logically. There's no pasuk that tells us about shiurim. Shiurim are an oral tradition that we have. Halacha lamosha mi sinai. And therefore, he says, in Cain, b'chol makom, in general, what's the default? Shi'uro b'kezayis, chutz b'makomo shepiresh chazal, unless chazal figured out a drusha, or a specific source, a derivative, to teach me that it's not a kezayis. For example, kigon, shi'urei shabbos, o shi'urei tumah, tzavik habetza, those are both habetza, or anichilas yom ha-kippurim, the havik kikoseves, a dried fig, aval heiched delo pirshu lanu, says the Minchas Chinuch, a klal gadol you should be aware of, unless I can come up with a limud or some kind of a drusha to tell me that the shiur should be something different. Vadai dino b'kezayis, kirov shiurin b'torah. And as we continue, you will see basically what he's doing here. It took me a while. I had to read it two or three times to realize that he had done it. I missed it the first time. What he seems to be doing here is, at least for the Rambam, he seems to be reversing course and basically rejecting the Musal Mayesh. And basically, as you'll see what he's going to do in the next paragraph, and saying, you know what, maybe we're wrong about the whole thing. And maybe, since I can't come up with a svara, because right now he's motivated to retract or reverse a little bit based on his question, Zafka on the Rambam, right? Because at the moment, we at least have a svara within the chinuch of achila versus non-achila. But within the Rambam, there's two non-achilas. So instead of, you know, I was expecting, you know, sometimes you hope that the Minchas Chinuch comes up with an ingenious answer. But there isn't always an answer. Sometimes you just have to reverse, right? It reminds me of a Rabbi Dr. Chaim Soloveitchik. I think he wrote this somewhere, but I heard it from him Baal Peh when I took a graduate course with him, a.k.a. Dr. Grach. So he once said, you know, he has a whole course on the Tosfos. Baal Tosfos, you know, had a whole revolution in the whole Derech HaLimud. Right? So Tosfos people learned one Gemara, then they learned another Gemara, and they and analyzed the Gemara for itself. But the idea of looking at Shas as one unified whole, and therefore I'm learning, you know, right now, Baba Basra, but since I'm Bekiyas, I know that there's a Gemara Baba Matiyah that disagrees, and I have to discuss a whole this, you know. So that was a revolution of Tosfos. And Tosfos, as we know, many times, so Tosfos very often will come up with a distinction, a chiluk. Says, well, this case is, you know, this, and this case is that. Sometimes the chilukim are very technical, sometimes the chilukim are very fundamental. So that's what he called the dialectical method. I think that was his term, Dr. Soloveitchik. So he said, part of the beauty of Tosfos is those Tosfos in which Tosfos gives Gzeres HaKosov, or a tzarach iyun. Those are the most beautiful because those show the integrity of Tosfos. Right? Very often when Tosfos gets a chilek, I remember sometimes I learned with my son, my youngest, 13, it seems to be a contradiction. Sometimes you have the same thing in the Gemara, frankly, but two Gemaras. Oh, this one's talking about this, one's talking about that. My son, the Tzmimus, because no one's trained him to think, you know, like this, so he thinks so straight, because they haven't taught him how to think yet, so he says, well, how do you know? How do you know? Maybe he does. It's always some. And Echanami, you don't necessarily know. It's a plausible answer. Maybe you can disprove. So the very fact that the Tosfos sometimes gives other answers, so it shows that he's not just trying to be, you know, he doesn't have a routine that he always goes to, right? If somebody, you know, you know, if you may have a great move, but if you always go to the same move, you're going to get stopped, right? That's the weakness of a player. Every now and then, you got to go to a different move, even if it's not as good a move, but just, you need to shake it up a little bit. So that's what the Minchas, you know, I was expecting Minchas to give me a razzle-dazzle answer. Good Lomdash, a great Minchas Sinach, I had a whole Lomdash for you, right? I was ready, I figured he was going to do it. They just said, I guess I got to reverse. Quickly, let's do the last paragraph here. I don't know if we'll get to Aleph. The next thing, but let's just do this one. Here's how Uriah meets Tzachim. Because Tzachim, bottom line is, the Gemara there compares, I'll just do this part quickly outside, Bir Chameis to Nosar. We started late, I guess. Whoops. Anyway, bottom line is, the Gemara there seems to be comparing other aspects of Chameis to this halacha of Nosar. And the Gemara didn't say, yeah, but Nosar is different because it was Pachos Mi Shir. So the bottom line is, I'm running out of time, but what the Minchas Chinuch says is, the Rambam, he's not Lamedaktik, he's crazy, like, we live for every word in the Rambam. He says here, that the Rambam was Medaktik, he said it in one place, Kazayas, and he means it in all the other places of Achamis. He didn't really mean it. But he ends, the last line, but when it comes to the Sefer HaChinuch, he thinks it's still the correct shot. He does not trap. He thinks there's a Gemara against the Sefer HaChinuch, but at least he thinks Halacha L'maisa, the Chinuch still holds that Nosar is B'Kol Shehu, but the Rambam, he thinks, holds that it's